Welcome back to Eco Talk. Betsy Rosenberg in conversation with Gus Speth. He is the dean of Yale's Forestry and Environmental Studies School, and also has a very impressive list of credentials behind him. I just want to share a few of them with you. He comes to Yale's Environmental School from the United Nations, where he served from 1993 through 99 as administrator of the Development Program, the principal arm of the UN for the funding and coordination of technical assistance and development. Prior to his tenure there, he founded the World Resources Institute, one of my favorite organizations, 1982 that was, and served as its president until 1993. And you also were the co-founder of the NRDC, Natural Resources Defense Council, of course, one of my favorite green groups. So I'm so glad that you're speaking out on this.
Thank you.
So highly qualified, and you're saying it so eloquently. And have you been speaking out about global warming since I know you've been studying it, but are you becoming more active in getting out to the public?
I tell people who ask me to speak now that I only will talk about this issue, whatever they
Good
want.
For you. And Good
so
for you.
I lose a few opportunities to speak out, but I do get to talk a lot more about the issue. It's very important that not only me, of course, but that lots of people, including our scientific community in the country, begin to speak out far more vigorously and often. I think the scientists know what's going on. And it's not in their genes to be very outspoken on policy issues of this type, but it's time for them to take it up.
Well, Dr. Jim Hansen, NASA's climate scientist, is...
God bless him.
Yeah, he's got guts, you know, and God bless him, and go loud, go fast, speak up.
Well, he's been at it a long time also. I mean, Jim was early... person testifying in hearings that Al Gore had back when he was in the Congress, and he's been one of the top people in this field for a long, long time.
You gave the keynote address at a conference for National Council for Science and Environment last year, and there you summarized reasons why our current way of addressing climate change, why they're not working, and you gave some ideas for solutions. If you could address both sides of that.
Well, I think, we have tended to treat the issue as a fairly traditional environmental issue. And there are even major environmental groups that haven't taken the issue up, if you can believe that. They've sort of assumed that it was NRDC's job or something of that type. And but as I've told the Nature Conservancy some years ago, that their campaign is to save the last great places. They're not going to save the last great places unless they stop climate change. And it's good to see the environmental groups really coming together now in a way that they weren't before. But that had been a serious impediment, I think. Secondly, the media have not been that attentive on the issue. That's changing. It's changing, and it's wonderful to see it changing. It was rather dramatic to see Fox News do a really good documentary on this. And I think we have Laurie David, who's organizing the virtual march on Washington, to thank for that.
That's right.
And
she got to Roger Ailes.
Roger Ailes, and they did it, and it was a good program. But those who haven't joined the virtual march on Washington, I'd encourage you to do it. I'd like to see a real march on Washington, to tell you the truth. And I've told Laurie that this situation is really so serious. I think it's akin to having your house on fire, and we have seen a fair portion of that house burned down. But we still have a chance to put out the fire. We still have a chance to save the tremendously valuable things here in our house. But we have to get busy right away because the fire is burning.
Sometimes I say we have a nation of CODs. That's an acronym I made up, standing for complacent, oblivious, and in denial. What's with this CODish factor here? Why are we really not accepting the reality?
Well, that's a very good question. I think that this is a uniquely difficult issue in one sense. In the 70s, when we had this first wave of environmental concerns, they were really in your face, in your neighborhood. People understood them. You didn't have to have great technical sophistication to see what was coming at you. You could smell the pollution and see the pollution and cough on the pollution, and the streams were filthy, and Cuyahoga River was catching on fire, and the Santa Barbara oil spill, everything. And but now this issue is more subtle. It's more long term. It's more technically. It's difficult technically to get your head around. And I think it's easy for people to put impediments out there to public understanding. And I think that's been done quite purposely. I think there's been a disinformation campaign in our country to keep people off balance and questioning this. The studies show that the issue is treated far more a matter of speculation and scientific conjecture in the U.S. than it is internationally.
And the people who put that out are funded by the oil companies for the most part.
Well, there've been some. I mentioned Exxon in this the piece that that you read from the New York Times, and Exxon has funded these organizations.
Yeah, I think one of the more encouraging signs is what's happening in the religious community. The evangelicals coming out and really taking on global warming as a way to protect creation. I assume you see that as well as a positive sign. But what other things give you hope right now?
Well, actually, beneath this inaction in Washington, there's a sea change occurring in our country. It's coming slowly, but you see over 200 cities now have committed to implementing the Kyoto Protocol. I hope they do. A number of states, including our states in California and in the northeast of the U.S., have adopted very important programs or policies for greenhouse gas reduction. A lot of corporations, who would have thought, a whole group of major international corporations have started reducing greenhouse gases impressively. Paul O'Neill couldn't get the Bush administration to do anything, but he left Alcoa with a greenhouse gas reduction strategy, which they have implemented. So there are some very hopeful things going on. It's just has got to be escalated by orders of magnitude.
Got to get the fossil fools out of the way and let the people take over. Thanks for joining us so much. It's been a pleasure to talk with you, James Gustav Speth, and he's from Yale. We'll be right back.
Thank you.